You're crazy. Good morning, everyone. Well, as you may or may not know, I'm the poster child for this sermon series. I am obsessed with music. I was hoping that we could do like show tunes and I could come out and do some awesome stuff and like some, you know, jazzercise pants, but Bill said no, which was a bummer for me. But when Bill mentioned that we would be picking songs for the summer series, I went home and I listed over 50 songs that I would love to preach about. So if you're preaching and you haven't picked your song, talk to me. I'll give you a song. But it was hard for me because I couldn't make the songs that I had picked fit the Bible verse that God convicted me with. I couldn't get my head around the idea of a song not about being Jesus, really being about Jesus. So I put the list aside and figured I had 6 months to pick one, so I would just let the music speak to me. But I'm an overachiever, and I wanted to be the first one to turn it in, so I wanted to make sure I beat Dorothy. But I think I only beat her by like a week. Woo! One day, a day. So, but music is amazing. It can alter your mood, can make you feel relaxed, it can inspire you. So why was I having such a hard time picking a song? Well, more than frustrated, I decided to just let it hit me, and then I would go from there. Fast forward a few weeks, and I'm driving up the junior high girls to winter camp. A car full of junior high girls squished in the back seat of our Toyota Camry. We were listening to a mix CD that Hannah Carson made for us. She makes the best mixtapes. And I was so excited when I knew that I had one of her CDs in my car, because it's a long drive to Forest Falls. Stuck in traffic for almost 4 hours, we listened to that mix CD over and over and over. Once the girls were safely at camp, I started back down the hill for my lonely drive home. With only Hannah's music to keep me company, I blared the songs and sang at the top of my lungs. But luckily it was dark, so nobody can see that I was pretending to be on Broadway in the car. Probably looked ridiculous. But then my new favorite song came on, number 4. And I sang it like I was singing it for Jesus. And I let the music just wash over me. And that's when it hit me. This is the song. After hearing it over and over, it was finally clear what God was trying to tell me. That I'm supposed to preach on the song "To Make You Feel My Love." Originally written by Bob Dylan, this song has been covered by many artists. From Billy Joel to country singer Garth Brooks, this song has been done in every genre you can think of. But my favorite so far is Adele's version. A bluesy soul version, Adele captures the essence of someone who is so in love with the other that she would give up or do anything for this person. So there I was, singing in the car to this song over and over, knowing that as Adele was singing it to her lover, it made me think of God singing it to us. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for worship music that we can sing it and we can just be praising you, God. And God, I pray for music that's written that's not about the gospel, but still makes us feel your love, God. God, I pray that just like music, that you will get into the hearts of these people, Lord, and that you'll help me to be a steward of your spirit, God. I pray that the words that I've written were not mine, God, but that they're yours. And that when they're spoken, Lord, that they will get into the hearts. And that when people leave, they will feel and be different. God, thank you so much for the love that you showed us on the cross by sending your only son, Jesus. God, I pray that if we forget everything that was said today, God, I pray that we remember how great your love is. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's word is thought by some as a love letter to his people, a telling of how much he loves us, and how he would do anything for us. There's stories, psalms, letters, all kinds of different things in the Bible that remind us of how great God's love is for us. And it also reminds us how great it is even when we don't deserve it. Throughout the Psalms, you get a glimpse into how great God's love is, along with beautiful imagery on how to live our lives. The reading for today is Psalm 103, verses 6 through 18. I chose the Message translation because it's one of my favorite. I feel like it really gets to the point, and it makes you feel the way that the writer was writing it. Hear now the reading of God's word. Psalm 103, verses 6 through 18. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened his plans up to all of Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace. Not easily angered, he's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold or hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out. Keeps in mind that we're made of mud. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom. But a storm snuffs them out as quickly, leaving nothing to show that they were there. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do what he said. Thank you, Lord, for your word. What a reminder of how God's love is. My favorite part of this psalm is the part that mentions he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. It is so encouraging to me to know that the God of all the universe, of everything that's been created, knows of my transgressions. But on that day, when he sent his only son to die on the cross, he took Sarah's sins away. He took all of our sins away. As far as the light touches, that's how far he has taken our sin. Have you ever sat at the beach and looked out and realized you couldn't see the beginning or the end? It was just the horizon. It's kind of muddled. And you, when you're a kid, you try to see the end, but there isn't one. That's the picture that I get when I read this verse. What a sacrificial love, and what a beautiful picture next time you go to the beach. And not only does God take away our sin, but he never treats us as our sins deserve. The idea that God in the flesh would rescue us from our sins makes me think of a story. While working at a summer camp as a counselor at Forest Home, my uncle, the camp director, was giving one of his daily talks to our kids at our nighttime worship. Now imagine over 250 preteen boys and girls all sitting together, praising Jesus, singing crazy songs, quoting the Bible, and then sitting down for almost an hour, all together learning about the Lord. They just got finished singing some ridiculous song or playing some game, and were sitting outside listening to my stuttering uncle. Now each night, the kids and the staff would gather, and my uncle would tell a story that related to our day's Bible verse. He started out by telling some joke and doing some ridiculous dance, and then he proceeded to tell them a story that his youth pastor told him when he was in junior high. I leaned over and whispered to one of my fellow staff members, facetiously, "This ought to be good." The story goes like this. He told us about a woman and her daughter. The woman had always had horrible scars on her face and her body. So bad that when she went outside, people would stop and they would stare. But no matter to the young daughter. She loved her mother and did not see the scars, but saw the wonderful mother that she was to her. But as the daughter got older, something changed. She began to be embarrassed of her mother and the scars that her mother had, and made excuses as to why she needed to be in public alone without her mother to embarrass her. Once she was old enough to drive in high school, she was sure that her mother never needed to accompany her. Afraid that people would make fun of herself or her mother, she constantly told her mother that she did not want to be seen with her and that she was embarrassed by her ugly scars. Scorned by her daughter's foolish pride, the mother did as her daughter wished and stayed home and did not bother to come out. But the day came for her daughter to graduate, and the mother was sure that her daughter wanted her there. The daughter was in her room getting ready, and her mother knocked on the door. The mother asked if she could please see her daughter graduate from high school. and that she knew that it was a very important day in her daughter's life and she needed to be there for her support. The daughter pondered and thought to herself and then replied, "Yes, you can go to my graduation." The mother was elated, but the daughter wasn't finished. "But I need you to cover your scars," she said, "and I need you to sit in the back, and I don't want anyone to know that you're my mother. This is the most important day of my life, and I can't have you ruin it." Feeling awful, her mother agreed. She did not want to miss her daughter's graduation, so she did as the daughter requested, so she could still see her daughter graduate. When the daughter arrived at school ahead of her mother, she saw her aunt from far away and ran to hug her. Her aunt was loving and very important to the daughter, but her aunt was wise. She looked around and asked the daughter where her mother was. Her daughter shamefully looked at the ground and told her of her prior requests. After the daughter was done tirading about how hard her life had been with a mother that was so embarrassing, her aunt interrupted her. "Do you know why she has those scars, young one?" she asked. "Yes," the daughter replied. "Mother always said it was because of love." The aunt continued, "Many years ago, your mother was a beautiful woman on the inside and on the out. But while knitting in the living room, she realized there was a fire close by, and she rushed to aid. To her horror, there was a baby crying, and she had to do whatever it took to save that baby. She rushed to the baby's aid and threw her own body to the flames in order to keep the baby from harm. Once she and the baby were safe, she unwrapped the baby to see that the baby was unharmed. But unfortunately for your mother, she was forever scarred." The daughter sat in horror as she learned about her mother's scars. The aunt continued, "Your mother loved that baby so much that she said afterward that she would do it over and over again to keep that baby safe. She wears her love as scars on her face and her body." The daughter couldn't speak. She was speechless. The aunt touched the daughter's face and said, "That baby was you. She loved you from the moment that you were born and knew that from the moment you met, she would love you for forever. She knew that she would do anything to keep you safe. She would go to the ends of the earth to make you know how much she loved you." The daughter realized how awful she had been and called her mother right away to say how sorry she was and how much she loved her mother. And while the daughter graduated, her mother sat in the front row, so proud of the one that she loved. This story reminds me of how God loves us. The mother didn't throw it in her daughter's face on why she looked the way she did. Instead, she continued to love her daughter, even when her daughter didn't deserve it. Like the daughter, we do not put God first. We are embarrassed by his love, and sometimes even worse, we discount it. But he still sent Jesus to die for us, knowing that we would still reject him. We would still be embarrassed by him. Listen to this again. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. The song I chose today reminds me of God singing us a love song. We are so blessed because Hannah Carson is going to go ahead and share her gift of music and sing "To Make You Feel My Love." Hannah, you come on up.
Rain is blowing in.
Man, that kid sings good. We are so blessed to have Hannah share that gift with us today. Thank you so much, Hannah. That was beautiful. As Hannah was singing it, I kept thinking, this isn't about some dude. It's about us. Every time I hear that song, it's just God saying to me how much he would do for me to know how much he loves me. But the thing that sometimes I think we forget is that he's already done it. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that already did. And he did that when he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. Sometimes we wake up and we forget how beautiful that miracle is, that through that miracle on Easter when Jesus conquered the grave, when he came back, he showed us how much he loved us. That God's love for us is bigger than our sin. And the psalm tells us that as far as east is from west, that's how far he takes away our sins. From the small ones that we forget to ask for forgiveness for, the big ones that change our lives and others. God takes that sin and he gets it out of our lives. And he makes it to where all he sees is the beautiful people that we are. He's created us to go out and be disciples to other people. But if we don't accept that God has already done everything for us to feel his love, then we're missing the big picture. We're missing our God-given right to love other people. Don't miss that. Don't leave this building without thinking about how great you are because God made you that way. It's not because how awesome we are, because we think we're kind of awesome. But we're that way because God created us to be that. And he did it through the love that he has for his people. Will you go ahead and pray with me? God, thank you so much that Hannah came and shared that beautiful song with us, God. Lord, we praise and thank you for what you did when you sent your son Jesus to die for us on the cross, Lord God. You're just so amazing. And you tell us over and over that you don't treat us based on the sins that we commit. Hallelujah for that, Lord. Thank you so much that when you see us, not our sins, not our transgressions. You don't see the yucky that's in our hearts, God. You see the beauty and the love that you've created. God, thank you so much for continuing to love us, even when we don't deserve it. God, I pray that we can love the way you do, like the mother in the story, and that we can treat people based on who they are, not because of the way they've treated others, God. Help us to continue to love people, and in that way, love you. We bless and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.